The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Welcome everyone to the Raw Review for Wrestling to the Max. This is the May 1st, 2017 edition, and we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. Also, don't forget to go subscribe, rate, and review Wrestling to the Max on any place you can find, especially iTunes. Tonight, I am Gary Vaughn, and our host is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And we got an interesting Raw to get into. I just want to let everybody know, if you did not check out the Payback 2017 review for myself, Paul, and Sean, you need to go listen to that. That, of course, gives you a lot of information on what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's also giving you kind of a precursor to how we actually may have changed our minds on some things, and maybe we're still the same. So just want to let everybody out that, you know, maybe if you didn't hear that, maybe you want to go listen to that first and then check out this Raw review. But, Paul, we've got to go down that path and talk about some of this fallout from Payback.
A lot of interesting stuff happening tonight, too. And sort of the main story that they decided to focus on was something that we kind of talked about during the Payback review, is that everything is sort of just a bunch of, it's sort of messy and a little flat for a lot of the guys up at the top of the card. And they certainly did a great job, I think, of going about trying to fix that and address all those issues. And they did that by having a number one contenders Intercontinental title match, pretty much, that was set up through a Seth Rollins promo during the first hour, where he talks about how he's had a lot of ups and downs the past 6 months, how he's been through so much with the injury, and the fans have given him sort of the will to keep on fighting and all that stuff. And then he essentially wants to challenge Brock Lesnar for the Universal title, which brings out Finn. Finn also wants a shot, and this causes Dean to come out later and says that he wants Lesnar too, and he knows that Lesnar doesn't fight so often, so we get some silly Ambrose here. And of course Miz and Maryse come out, and they throw their hat into the ring and sort of run down Rollins and Balor and Ambrose, and suddenly we turn all this into a number one contenders match between Finn, The Miz, and Rollins for the IC title against Dean, per the order of Kurt Angle through Dean Ambrose. And then throughout the evening, we have Dean sort of interviewing everybody. He interviews Seth and Finn, and pretty funny segments there, too. And then we get this incredible triple threat match at the end. Once you get through the opening stuff, they really kick it in the next gear and just totally wow the crowd. And set up everything. So Samoa Joe comes out to attack Seth and tells him they're not done. Finn is attacked by Bray Wyatt during the match, and he eats his sister Abigail, which allows Miz to pretty much come out of nowhere after getting his tail kicked for most of the match and get the 1-2-3 to set up what the obvious Intercontinental title program was going to be. And that pretty much is the main story. I really enjoyed this throughout the evening. I thought it was well done. I thought Dean was great as well doing the interview parts, and I don't think I can speak highly enough about this match.
Yeah, and I want to start out by talking about a few of the things you kind of pointed out, and I'll definitely talk about the match too itself, but I want to say this. I was really hard on Dean earlier and when we were doing the Payback review and pointed him out and Bray Wyatt and said they need to go back to go to character camp, do some new things, please turn it around. And I'm not going to really say anything about Bray Wyatt just yet, because I don't know that he really has done anything, but I think Dean Ambrose kind of did a really good job tonight. He was actually entertaining. I didn't think he was blasé. He kind of made me laugh a little bit, making, the whole reference towards Mean Gene and Gorilla Monsoon. That's kind of cute little fun stuff, right? And it shows he's kind of fun. He's kind of a wily character, like telling the Drifter, hey, do you know any Pearl Jam? So all this stuff stuff is great, and that's the kind of stuff that we need from Dean Ambrose, and none of the other kind of hokey stuff he does. And it's not a lot. I'm not making a mountain out of an anthill. I'm just saying it's in the right direction for Dean Ambrose. So it kind of made me a little bit more remorseful for my comments earlier, but I still feel like he does have quite a ways to go. But I did really enjoy this. I'm right with you, Paul. I think he did a good job. I think all that were involved did a really good job. I don't think anybody really slacked here. I mean, heck, even Seth Rollins was kind of comical himself at times. And this match itself was really quality. I mean, it had a lot of great moments. It was exciting to watch. You were kind of biding your time to see who was going to be victorious. And we kind of thought The Miz was going to win, but we were just kind of curious to see how that would happen. And I love the outside interference stuff. You know, of course, Samoa Joe gets involved. You get Bray Wyatt with Finn Balor. So that sets up feuds immediately. So that's good. Coming out of Payback, we're not waiting a long time. We know now which path each of these guys are going on. And of course, it just makes more sense for The Miz and Ambrose to go at it in this. And so I liked it. They did a great job all night long building this. It had its funny moments. It had serious moments. And then the final part was really, honestly, full of common sense. So I can't give them more of a hand clap tonight on doing a good job with all that.
Yeah, and I also should be I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Kurt Angle's little promo where he talks about Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman essentially being done with each other because they're seemingly going to kill each other. He also says that Braun suffered a torn rotator cuff. We don't know if this is real or kayfabe or whatnot, but this leads Bray to come out and say that he pretty much knows what he needs to do now since he's dealt with Randy and he's got this whole new place to run wild in. So the matter is cleared up because he's very vague during that promo, and then he comes out and texts Finn later on in the evening. So I agree with you. I like a lot of these feuds. Obviously, Seth and Joe still have some mileage to go. Miz and Dean is still kind of carryover from SmackDown, so that makes a lot of sense. And hopefully Bray and Finn can really put on something to bring the best out of each other, because I don't like the matchup on paper, but there's a lot of stuff that they can get into here. So I think there's a lot to like here. And like I said, I can't speak highly enough about this match. Miz was incredible. I thought Finn looked as best as he had ever been since he hit the main roster, honestly. And Seth looked extremely motivated to go out there and put on another great match. And the running kick that Finn does on Miz on the outside particularly stands out, just because I was really surprised Miz still had a face after it was over.
Very true. Very true. And I agree. I think, you know, things just fell into place. I don't know that you're always going to get this. I think all that were involved, everything just kind of fell at its right moment and made it all work. And I think I'm most happy about the fact that it's not convoluted. It's a pretty clear picture. I kind of feel like they put a lot of effort into this to make this work out the way it needed to work out. So very happy. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to all these feuds. Mm-hmm. Heck, I mean, even Miz and Ambrose will be fun. I know we've seen it before, but I still think it'll be fun. I think the way that those two guys, you know, and their characters interact, it's going to be comical. It's going to have some great moments that we can sit back and say, oh, that, you know, that was actually quality. And the other two feuds, of course, you know, hey, Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe, I don't think we've even tipped the tip of the iceberg on that one. I think that, you know, there's still more great matches out of those guys, and it's just nice to see that Finn's actually going to be in a feud that's going to be hopefully interesting, because we know the demon's coming out. That's what's the best part about this.
Right, and how all this is going to shunt into who gets the match with Brock, because that was a big focus during that segment. I don't know, but certainly I think the ride getting there will be fun. So at least there's still that to look forward to on the horizon too. But let's talk about what they opened the show with, and that was the women. Of course, Alexa Bliss is your new Raw Women's Champion. She beat Bayley last night in her hometown, a fact that she loved to rub in during this opening promo. And you know, there's a lot of grandiose grandstanding from her, where she talks about how, you know, she's the first to win both of the titles on both brands, how she's pretty much a wrestling goddess, and pretty much she's the best of the best. This brings out Bailey later on and Sasha and everybody, pretty much saying, like, look, just because you won one match doesn't really mean anything yet. We have a long ways to go with all this. And Bailey, in particular for me, I thought really stood out here because she got a... I don't think we've gotten a lot of great promos from her, but I thought she was really good in this and sort of... This is the role she's born to play, right? Where she's working up from the bottom, trying to come back from... which should hopefully be booked as a more devastating loss than what it was sort of treated as tonight. But here they are. And then this all leads up to a big tag match. All the faces in the women's division, Sasha, Mickey, Dana, and Bailey take on all the heels, which is Alexa, Emma, Alicia Fox, and Nia Jax. They go about 15 minutes or so. Lots of back and forth. I think this is one of those great matches where everybody gets a chance to shine. Even Alicia to some extent, and Alexa gets another sneaky win here to really rub it into Bailey's face as she's the one who eats the pin, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. And also gets personal about her family.
Absolutely. They,
you know, and that's what I do love about this, and you're exactly right. I love the interaction between Bailey and Alexa Bliss here because I think that they both showed so much emotion, and it's a given for me now. Alexa Bliss is doing fine on the mic, right? She's just it's quality, so I don't have to sit here and brag for an hour on that. But Bailey is someone that we have seen, and we've had a little criticism for her, and then we've had some praise for her at the same time. It's been a little 50-50 so far. But you're exactly right. This going from the bottom up works so much better for Bailey. I think not only that, the intensity that she showed on this episode of Raw really gave you that other dimension that we want to see. You know, the aggressive Bailey, the one that's going to, you know, sure, she's nice, she's sweet, she's the one, you know, the one holding the teddy bear, but when she has to, she'll rip its head off and come and, you know, cut you down. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to see out of Bailey, too. You need that extra dimension for her. And I think the fans will get more behind her if they have that. And we saw that with NXT, right? It took a long time to get to that point with Bailey in NXT before they allowed her to be aggressive and to be someone that, you know, let's be honest, is, kind of, you know, scary in a way because of just that raw aggression that she pulls out of being such an innocent person. So I think overall this was a great segment. The interaction once again between Bailey and Alexa Bliss is the most important thing here, but it was great. But I have to say, I really did like the round table that Alexa Bliss went through and really kind of purposely cut down each and everyone except Nia Jax, who she had nothing really bad to say.
Right, which is because, also, you know, Nia is twice her height. So.
Yeah, never mind. The comments I had for you, I'm just going to, I'm going to sit on them because I don't want you to sit on me.
Yeah,
exactly. But I loved it. It was quite funny. So once again, you know, I'm really happy with their performance here. And I think, you know, even the match itself was kind of fun to watch. I mean, I think that everybody got their stuff in. Mm-hmm. This kind of reminds you back in the day when, you know, TNA had their X division and everybody in the X division had to get their move in. Kind of the way it worked out here, everybody had to get in the ring, which it needed to be that way. I'm just saying, but it wasn't stupid. I think they did a good job with it overall. So, hey, good job in this division tonight.
Right, yeah, they highlighted a lot of stuff they have going on, too. Dana and Emma obviously have issues. Nia is just angry at everybody. Sasha, Bailey, and now Alexa sort of have this interesting chemistry going on throughout the match, too. So, once again, another division that got to hit on all the heads and sort of keep building up on stuff that it had already done. Well, let's go ahead and just talk about the tag team stuff because it's... One, it's a little bit more spread out. You have Enzo and Cass come out, do their usual stuff. They get attacked by Gallus and Anderson before they get in the ring, and then they have a big brawl between those two. It turns into a match between Enzo and Luke, and Gallus goes on to defeat Enzo in about a six-minute match or so. It's not great. Enzo takes a beating for maybe too long a time, and... all that good stuff. And it just sort of like these guys are, it's all holdover stuff. And we've already seen them have a holdover feud. So it's not really all that interesting between these two teams, if you ask me.
You know, once again, I didn't watch the pre-show on Payback. And it wasn't just to be a jerk and miss this match that they had. It was just I kind of got on the pay-per-view late. And really, honestly, I had no motivation to watch it. I just didn't. And the same with this tonight. I mean, there's nothing that grabs your interest one bit. There's not even a second of it, because the jokes are the same. The Enzo and Kaz thing is funny. It's fun. But it's kind of like the New Day, right? The New Day started to get to a point where they were kind of doing the same shtick, and it was just kind of going along with it, right? Mm-hmm. And it got to be stale. And you're just kind of like, okay, guys. All right, dream up something new. So when you have Gallows and Anderson, who I still love, I mean, I like these guys a ton, and I love Enzo and Kaz. I just kind of the way I look at Bray Wyatt right now, I look at him as uninteresting. They've lost their luster, and they've got to find it again. And maybe don't match these guys up for a while. Let these two teams go face other people. And yes, I get it. You don't have a lot of time for the tag division. Maybe you want to focus on other things, but my goodness, take a break at least from it. You know? Mm. So, yeah, I'm with you, Paul. I just had no care in the world. I could have missed this and been completely happy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We seem to have some build-up for another tag team feud here, as Heath Slater and Apollo Crews have a one-on-one match. Titus gets... And the whole reason this goes down is because Titus is upset with Apollo for... "quote unquote," speaking with the enemy as they were sort of having a conversation about being a father and whatnot. And Apollo goes on to win this in about 3.5 minutes. It's nothing overly special. Cruz is still a rehab project as they're trying to get him there. And after the match, they go for another photobomb or another selfie, and Rhino photobombs him from behind. So this could end up being a tag team program. Do you have any interest here at all?
It's very waning if I have any interest at all. You know, Titus O'Neil, I appreciate the effort that they're trying to put into him at least and give him something to do. And hey, it's actually not too terrible with Apollo Crews. But you know, until they do something that really matters, yeah, it's very little. And I'm curious. I guess that's the way I should put this, right? I mean, I'm more interested and in really curious in seeing how they can make this work. And they can to an extent. How far can they take it is my biggest question. You know, how really far can they go? And usually that means Titus, like you just mentioned, will be a tag team mm-hmm. with Apollo more than it would just be a managerial role or something like that. So I really will, you know, hold my breath and hope for both those guys they do something successful, because I do like Titus O'Neil. And, you know, I have nothing against Apollo Crews. I would like to see him succeed, but it just does not seem to be a formula right now as we sit here that it's going to be, you know, anything great. But you know what? Hey, I want to say this. Apollo, you know, you should know that you're not supposed to be asking Heath Slater about father advice. You got the father of the year in Titus O'Neil with you. So, mm-hmm. come on. No wonder he's offended. I'd be offended, too. If I won, hey, come on. If I won People's Magazine's Sexiest Man of the Year, I'd be kind of offended if, you know, they were asking someone else for, you know, beauty tips. I'd be like, dude, look at me. Come on.
Oh, you're so vain, Gary.
Oh, yeah. Don't make me sing that song. I could.
I was kind of hoping you would, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Cesaro and Sheamus also get some promo time to talk about their big turn from the previous evening on the Hardy Boys, where they say that they were essentially tired of the Hardy Boys nostalgia run sort of taking over the division, and last night they showed that they can't really hang with the new guys in the WWE, guys like Cesaro and Sheamus, who are just a class ahead almost, and they sort of wax on about that same thing between both of them, and the Hardys eventually come out, and Matt says it's unbelievable that they actually believe what they're saying, and that leads to a big brawl. This was fine. I think it's just more important to have Cesaro and Sheamus sort of establish the turn as opposed to, well, sportsmanship didn't really get us anywhere to, no, we're kind of upset that all these other acts that are more nostalgia-based are getting ahead of us. And there's some... I think there's a lot of personal interest in this as far as maybe both of them go. They're guys that have sort of been held down by a lot of the nostalgia run from a lot of acts.
Yeah, that's true, and they are touching on something that actually, you know, it's historical in history as of late, mm-hmm. you know, and we still hear to this day about CM Punk being pissed because The Rock came back and took something away from him, and I'm people like that. Hey, I know. I know you hate that. That's why I brought it up. I wanted to see if you'd get some anger out of you tonight, Paul. But there's plenty of other instances we could go through, a laundry list of, you know, historical acts and legends that have come back and just kind of, you know, taken some time away and some big spots away from these guys who've put a lot of work in and they're younger guys. So I get this, and I kind of like that they are tying this in with Cesaro and Sheamus, because I think that's your best way of getting them to a point where you care enough about them, right? I love Cesaro. I'm a huge Cesaro fan. Sheamus is fine. I don't hate Sheamus, but just I kind of get bored a little bit with Sheamus, to be honest with you. He doesn't do a lot for me. But together, I think they kind of work for each other. And seeing this new way of thinking and all that, it makes sense. It doesn't take away from anything. So I appreciate it, especially in this feud with the Hardys. So I get it, you know. And I mean, especially on this show where, you know, you have the Hardys even come out at the end here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have these two guys who are acting like they're standing up for themselves. And then when the Hardys run to the ring, they kind of bail. Like, right. You know, that's nothing out of the ordinary. But what I love about this is, you know, they're talking a big game and they kind of exit. So now it makes you wonder what's the next point, right? What's the next thing that they're going to do here? And so, I don't know. I can't say I hate this, Paul. I'm not super excited about it, but I'm not hating this.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing to write home about as of now. But like I said, it is more important to establish Cesaro and Sheamus's reasoning. They did that. And you have the Hardy Boys get to come out and play hero and look good and all of this still. So, which still seems to be what they're after, even though they have some stuff percolating underneath. It's just a lot of it isn't all that interesting. And to sort of put a bow on this, Goldust and Truth are backstage with Kurt Angle, and they're pitching the idea that they should be the number one contenders for the tag titles. And Kurt very rightly brings up that they haven't really won a lot of matches, so they don't really deserve it. And Truth and Goldust sort of play on their history with Kurt and say, like, hey, man, we've known each other forever. Why don't you help us out a little bit here? And Kurt goes, okay, well, next week we're going to have a number one contenders tag team turmoil match, and you guys can be in it if you're okay with that. And they go, of course, we're going to make you proud, all that good stuff. So seemingly all of these teams that are involved here, except for maybe, obviously, Apollo and Titus and, it's probably Slater and Rhino will be in that too, but, you know, you'll have a lot of that all commingling next week, so there is that to look forward to.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of nice that they're given, you know, Truth and Goldust some time here. I think that's, you know, kind of nice, and it's fitting if it is going to lead into next week, right? And that's a good point. And I love the fact that they kind of tie in Goldust with Kurt Angle, saying they've been, you know, they've known each other for a long time, 20 years, 15 years, something like that. So I think that's all good and dandy for what it's worth. We'll see. I mean, I love that, you know, they've gotten some guys on that they haven't had on in a while, and they're kind of still keeping them relevant. And this is what they're doing with Truth and Goldust. So we'll see what happens in the future and how they do, you know, kind of commingle with the Hardys and all that. The one thing I do want to do before we move out of the tag team division, though, I do want to ask you really quickly. We saw, once again, we're seeing the same thing, and this will be the same thing we'll talk about at probably 1,000 episodes. But we did have a lot more than, you know, it seems like usual of this Delete thing. The crowd loved it tonight. They were actually hot for it. You know, and we saw Matt do it more than once, you know. So is there anything that we're getting out of this that you think that they are starting to kind of lean on that whole thing?
I would have been much more sold on the idea that they're progressing towards that if there were a bit more of the mannerisms in the promo. There really wasn't. Matt and Jeff were still Team Extreme gimmick stuff, their usual stuff that they did in the WWE before they left. So I'm leaning towards no. It obviously obviously they're going to play this safe until all that gets settled, whether WWE ends up paying Impact some money just to sort of dismiss it, or this does go to court, or whatever's going to happen here. They're going to play this as safe as possible.
Yeah, I just had to ask. It's, you know, I think Matt's getting comfortable with it more. I really do. And that's fine. But I'm right there with you. I do feel like, you know, until they full-blown show us, you know, hey, these guys are broken, don't get too excited. Don't get too happy. We just got to see what's going to be, you know, in their future. But I sure do look forward to when they are. So.
Yeah, the interesting part is going to be how they're going to try to bridge the gap from what they did in TNA and how all that came about to how it's going to come about here in the WWE. Because it's still very clear that it's still on all the fans' minds. No matter where they go, seemingly people are doing some volume of the delete chant. And we got Brother Nero chants last night. Like, there's still a lot of interest. WWE's creative has been lacking in a lot of things for a long time now, and I don't know if I have a lot of faith in them to try to make this work in the WWE universe, other than just saying, well, here they are, you know, and now mm-hmm. they're broken suddenly and whatever. So I mean, I'd like to think the best of them, that they're going to do right by this, but I have my doubts at times.
You know, I'm right there with you. The one thing I do feel like they could do, if they, and probably creative, hopefully will think of this, but I think that they either need a feud, whether it be Cesaro and Sheamus, or if it's way down the line somewhere, and whoever they're having a feud with, or heck, even a Brock Lesnar, have someone knock them senseless and put them in a situation that's so dire that they come out of it broken. Or, you know, we could always lean on that whole thought, Bray Wyatt changes him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I lean more towards, I would love to see him, you know, maybe Brock Lesnar, you know, just runs through him, just completely destroys him. And then they come back, and then you see, you know, maybe Matt come back and say, I don't know what happened. All I remember is I woke up and I felt like I had just gotten back from, you know, North Carolina, and I had green beans, and I was in battles, and you know, I wish they could kind of sneak in some of that history that people know, is what I'm saying here. So we'll see. I in my perfect world, I have him recalling things that he can't really talk about, but we all know what they're about.
Right. I wager it'll be some degree of that, whether it's Brock or I think the revival injury might actually be helpful in this, because you can keep them apart for longer without having them on screen. If the revival come in and win the belts off the Hardys and sort of, you know, pummel them into the ground, that would be not only is the shocking loss of the championships weighing on their minds, but now that, you know, they just got beaten down into oblivion by these two guys, and suddenly they come out and their brains all rattled and they're back in the broken universe once again, looking for to become the greatest team in all of time and space.
Yeah, and the obsolete mule will be back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think the only thing we really have left to talk about is all the cruiserweight stuff. And I think they did a lot of great work on this show in that front, because you have TJP and Neville do this backstage promo where TJ says, look, man, you know, a lot of fans are saying you used the referee to sort of retain your title because you knew you were about to lose. But I know differently. I know that you were doing this because, you know, that referee was a problem. Neville's like, yeah, the referee was a problem. He's the reason that I was in the situation I was in, all these other things. And then tells TJP, hey, man, you really need to go out there and solve this Austin Aries problem for us, because if you don't, it's going to take you longer to get that title shot from me again. And that's clearly, that's the relationship here. And I really like that this segment defined that, where Neville is simply hanging a carrot out in front of TJP, trying to get him to do his bidding, all the while making things easier for himself, as all good kings do.
Yeah. that's very true. Trust me. I've been watching Into the Badlands. You see that quite a bit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I do like this. I like that they put some focus on it, and the fact that, you know, you got TJ Perkins really thinking about things now and really understanding what he's got to do, and it's through the advice of the guy he wants to take the title away from. So it shows how serious TJ Perkins, you know, is about this and how much he wants that Cruiserweight title back. But not only that, I mean, it gives you more reason to why you could hate Neville, right? You know, he's talking to other people to do his bidding. He's going to just kind of sit back and then he'll, you know, pick the bones. So I appreciate that. You know, it makes Neville look good. It makes him, you know, have a reason to be here. And then, of course, you know, you got, you know, Austin Aries doing his thing and, you know, he looks great. But when TJ Perkins, you know, attacks him at the end of this match and really hurts him, you feel like, you know, hey, TJ Perkins is legit. You know, he's not to be messed with. And I appreciate that. You know, I like that a lot. So I think overall I was pretty happy with this one.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match a lot, too. I think they told a great story with TJP isolating the knee, working up to the knee bar, which he unfortunately never got to sink in because Aries ends up getting the last chancery in after reversing out of the detonation kick. And post-match, TJP does the big attack on him and really works over the knee some more. So TJP gets to look a little bit more dangerous than he has been recently because he's been taking a lot of losses recently, being the fall guy for Neville now. And, yeah, like I said, I think they did a good job with this. I'd be interested to see how all this plays into 205 Live tomorrow as we continue to build up to whatever they're going to do to blow off this Aries-Neville thing. So, there's also a six-man tag match here for in the Cruiserweight division as all the faces pretty much involved and stuff. So Rich Swann, Akira Tozawa, and Jack Gallagher take on Tony Nese, Brian Kendrick, and Noam Dar. They get about 11, 12 minutes or so. Not as exciting as I like the six-mans with the Cruiserweights to be. It's a little bit more toned down. But I think it gets the point across. Like, a lot of these guys have problems with each other. And Tozawa ends up getting to look hero, like the big hero here, sort of saving Gallagher from Brian Kendrick and then hitting the big corner dropkick to win.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of fun to see Gallagher be the victor here, you know, because, you know, he's kind of the babyface favorite. Everybody loves him. He's so much fun. But overall, I mean, I think this was a pretty good match as well. I really enjoyed it. I thought everybody involved did a good job, you know. I mean, there's nothing really super spectacular to say about it other than it was a good match, right? I mean, I think everybody got a little bit here and there, but this isn't focused on, you know, one central feud, you know. So
right,
just kind of showcases these guys. Sometimes that's needed on Raw. You don't always need to have, you know, oh, you know, we're getting this point across and this and this. And sometimes you just need to have great matches to get people interested in watching 205 Live.
I agree with you on some front there. Some of these guys, like, you know, Tony Nese is seemingly about to be involved in an alliance with Drew Gulak as they talk about no flips in 205. And you have a lot of stuff sort of percolating here. I just, for these to really hit home, I think you got to let them go a bit more wilder than what you usually would do in these six-mans. We talk about this all the time. Let the cruiserweights be cruiserweights at times, and this is one of those moments where I feel like they really should have let him go out and do that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right on that. I mean, they really probably should have done more. You know, sometimes I guess when I use the word fun, that just means it was entertaining, and I hope that, you know, people out there listening understand that, you know, they do need to do more to get people to watch 205 Live. And we always stress it. And reason, if you're listening right now and you're like, good God, why do you keep saying that? We stress it because I think there's a lot that 205 Live offers that people don't know about. They see the commercial, they just say, oh, something else, and they don't watch it. And they don't realize, hey, those are some great shows. I mean, they're only an hour long, and sometimes they have excellent matches on there that no one knows about if they don't check it out. And, you know, to Paul's point here, if they did let these guys go and they could just be themselves, people would be probably flocking to 205 Live. They'd probably be like, oh, my God, I can see more of this tomorrow night. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you got a point there.
That pretty much does it for Raw this week. I think the only thing we left to do is put a number on this bad boy, Gary.
You know, I think this was a pretty decent Raw. I really didn't find myself bored. I found myself actually kind of entertained a majority of the way. I kept saying, oh, that's good. This is good. This makes sense. All those type of terminologies to explain this Raw. Did it blow me out of the water? No, this is not getting a 9 or 10. I don't even know if I'm going to give it an 8. I think it, for me personally, for an after pay-per-view show, I think they deserve a little bit more. I will give them a 7.5 because, trust me, this could have really sucked. This could have been terrible. And I think everything they did, for the most part, made sense, and they had some pretty good matches. So I think 7.5 is where I sit.
I'm going to give it a 7. They did a lot of quality storytelling once again tonight, which is, I think, the best thing that they did at Payback. That continues on here. You just have some great wrestling. And the main event is must-watch for anybody who didn't watch Raw this evening. It is absolutely worth your time. It's incredible. And I can't say enough great things about it. But, that's going to do it for Raw this week there, Gary.
Yeah, it is, and man, trust me, Paul just gave Raw some pretty high praise, so yes, go watch it. I don't know how many times we hear anybody say those words, Paul. Yeah, it's worth your time. Go watch that 3 hours.
Yeah.
But you're right. It really is good, so trust Paul and go check it out. But yeah, thanks everybody for coming and joining us tonight. We appreciate everyone who listens, and make sure you go check out the SmackDown Live review. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do a 205 Live review, and of course NXT this week. Also, don't forget, we'll be doing episodes 1 and 2 of Wrestling to the Max you're not going to miss. And if you don't want to miss it, trust me, there's a great place to go find it, W2Mnet.com. That's right, you can go find us and a lot more great content there. Also, go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast through. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you down the road.
Have a good one, guys.